Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, What Does God Say About Civil Disobedience?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about civil disobedience and what God says to us about that. Is it ever right for us to disobey the governing authorities? That is, the government, president, governors, the police, the laws of the land, local and national. Is it ever right to defy the authorities, to resist, to rebel against them, to go in a different direction than they tell you? Or are we always bound to obey, to never resist, to always obey? I bring this up, of course, because the world we're living in today, this is a massively big topic, civil disobedience. You've got it on all sides. You've got certain people that have obeyed the lockdown, but now in order to feed their families and they need to go back to work and disobey the government. On the other side, you've seen people that disobey the government to burn and to loot. And so there's a lot of civil disobedience going on in our own country right now and also in the world. So today, let's take a look at civil disobedience and see what God tells us about that in His Word, the Bible, so that we can have a clear understanding of these things, so that we can chart our own course well and clearly straight ahead in the days to come, of course, being led by the Holy Spirit. So, civil disobedience. What does God tell us about that in His Word, the Bible? Well, first of all, let's just consider who are the civil authorities over us that when we talk about obeying or disobeying them. Well, since we live in the United States, we could say the president, the governors, the mayors, the laws of our land that are enacted in our country, both nationally and locally, and the police officers who enforce these. Now, if you were in England, you might say the Queen, or the Prime Minister, or the Parliament, and the laws enacted in that land. Or if you're in some other country, it would be a different setup. But in short, it's any civil authorities that are set over you in the land, country, where you're living on the earth at that time. These are the authorities who are over us in the civil realms. So, I want to ask about them, though. Does God want us to obey them? Is it good for us, according to God's word and in God's eyes, to obey the civil authorities? And the answer to that question is basically yes. God does want us to obey. Where do we read that in scriptures? Let's take a look here. Open up to Matthew 22, verse 15. Let's listen to our Lord, verse 15 and following. The Pharisees went and took counsel how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you're true and teach the way of God truthfully and care for no man, for you do not regard the position of men. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the money for the tax. And they brought him a coin. And Jesus said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So Jesus is the King of heaven himself, and he's come down here to earth. And what does he tell us to do there? He tells us to render to the governing authorities their due. In this case, taxes. So let me ask you, was that just Jesus talking, or did he follow that up with his actual actions? Well, let's go back just a short chapter or two to Matthew 17, verse 24. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the half-shekel tax, now we're talking the temple tax, went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher," that's Jesus, "pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came home, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Wouldn't you love to pay taxes that way? But Jesus, again, he is the king. So he's saying here, he is actually, as king, free from all the taxes. But in order to do the right thing and give no offense, he paid the tax. And Jesus paid the tax, and Peter paid the tax. And he's giving us an example here: pay all of them their dues. To Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. We, therefore, should obey the civil authorities on earth. But why, we might want to ask, why should we obey and be subject to the civil authorities? You know what the answer to that is? It's because their authority that they have comes from God. God gives it to them and appoints them and gives them the authority to govern for our common welfare, our common good, our livelihood, and our protection. And let's read about Peter. Peter tells us about that. He says this in 1 Peter 2, verse 13 and 14. He says, "Be subject," say "be subject." "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." So there's Peter. He's saying, obey and give honor to the governing authorities. Their job is to take care of you, to give you protection, and praise the right and punish the wrong. Paul says the same thing in his letter, Romans 13. He says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." Say that, be subject to the governing authorities. "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, for he is God's servant for your good." So that's the government's job, and the police officers, etc., is they're appointed by God. Their authority comes from him. So that's where they get it, and they are to use it for your good, for your common welfare, livelihood, freedom, etc. "But if you do wrong, be afraid. Be afraid of the police officer if you speed, for example. For he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God." Think about that. There are ministers of God. "Attending to this very thing, pay all of them their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due." So they get their authority from God. That's the power and the authority that's behind them. Their job is to preserve your welfare, your good, your safety, your freedom and protection. And so we should obey them, and for these reasons. Does not our own United States Declaration of Independence say the same? "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Watch this. "That to secure these rights," say that, "to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The purpose of government, therefore, is to secure the rights of individuals in their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." That's their job. "Therefore, we ought to obey. And God even commands and expects us to obey. Therefore, be good citizens of these United States where God has placed you. Great, so obey. But next, we need to consider this question. Is it ever right for us to disobey the governing authorities in certain circumstances? Is it ever right for us to defy the authorities in the civil realms in God's eyes and according to the Bible? Answer to that question is absolutely yes. Two, there are certain times and situations in which, if we're to be true men and true women and Christians, we even must disobey. Really? Where's that in the Bible? Well, let me give you a couple examples here. We could look, for example, to Daniel chapter 3 and to Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. For we read there, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So this is an image of gold. It's an idol. It's 90 feet tall. All right? 90 feet tall, an image of gold, an idol. It is a satanic image. And the rule there he gave, the law, was that whenever you hear the sound of any music, you are to fall down and worship this. And whoever does not fall down and worship this golden idol that the king has set up, that same person shall be thrown immediately into the burning fiery furnace. That's a pretty tough situation, isn't it? Here is a king in the civil realms with civil authority commanding you to bow down to a golden image. Should you obey or disobey the law of that king? All right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're Jews. They're faithful to God. And they are even governors in his kingdom. And their answer to the king was, no, we are not. We ain't bowing any knee to that golden image you've set up, because we serve the one true living God. Well, how did that go for them, their defiance? The king flew into a furious, fiery rage and commanded that they be brought to him. And he said to them, is it true, you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image, the golden image which I've set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Wow. Well, how'd that go for these three men? Well, they answer the king. They said defiantly, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you've set up. Can you hear the defiance and in the voices and the attitude and the spirit of these men? Defiance against worldly authority. And it was a mighty word from true men of God. Well, what happened at that point? The king went ballistic, flew into even a greater rage, and had the furnace heated up 7 times its accustomed heat. The fire was so hot that the men casting our three friends into the fire were consumed themselves by the fire even as they approached. 3 went in. But the king then saw and looked and said, did I not cast 3 men into the fire? And yet I see 4 men loose, and the 4th appears as a son of the gods. You 3, come out. And they came out, and he saw that they were untouched by the flames. And he gave a new order. All must worship the God of these 3 men, for there is no other God who can deliver in this way. And they were saved and set free. So I want to ask you a question then. Is there ever a time and a place, friends, for us to disobey the civil authorities according to God, the truth, and Scripture? Answer, yes, absolutely. To rebel against a civil law and a civil authority, to be defiant, to fight back even to death. Answer in the Bible is absolutely yes. And even more, in those cases, it's the only right thing to do. So also you see Daniel, he rejected the order of the Persian king when it was outlawed that people were to pray to any but to the king. Daniel rejected that, prayed anyway. He was thrown to the lions for it, but he, like his friends, was delivered out of the lion's den and came out free and alive. The apostles, too, look at Peter and John, who told us in their letters and in their preachings to honor the emperor and obey the governors, they stood defiant at another time against the Jewish authorities when those same authorities arrested them. And they charged Peter and John not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Defiance against civil authorities. And boy, that was powerful. They defied and rebelled gloriously. It was the only right thing to do. Therefore, let me ask you a question. When is it the right time and place for us to defy the civil authorities? When are we free, even duty-bound, to do it? The answer is whenever, listen carefully, whenever the civil authorities go against God and against his laws for us. That is, when the civil authority oversteps its bounds and duty, and instead of securing your life, liberty, and welfare, turns rather to destroy it. Then we are duty-bound by true service to God, to ourselves, and to our families to disobey, to rebel. And at that time, it's the only right thing to do if we are to be true men and women and Christians. And you know what? The United States Declaration of Independence says the same. For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We all know that part, but then it goes on. It says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And now watch this. That whenever, any form of government becomes destructive, say destructive, of these ends, in other words, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the rights of the people, says the Declaration, to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. There we've got it right in our own Declaration of Independence. There is a time to rebel. What then can we say of our present dark times, these unprecedented and tumultuous times when our world seems to be turning upside down before our eyes? What of churches, for example, locked down for 2 weeks? Okay, all right, help our neighbors. Turns into 4 weeks, to 8 weeks, to 11 weeks. Some are being extended out to 20 weeks with no real hope of end in sight because the goalpost keeps getting moved. Who knows whether it'll open then? Is there a right time to resist and defy and open up anyway? All right, Peggy knows. What if you're in Michigan and your mom and you went to the jungle gym with your daughter at the park and the police tell you, you can't be here, you can't be outside. Show me that in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, she says. Or the Wisconsin mom harassed by the police for letting her daughter go outside the house. Remember that? They said, your daughter can't go outside the house. We don't want to see her outside again, they said angrily. Basically, governor's orders. Should you resist then? Stand up for your rights. What if a governor says you can't go to work to save your business? Can't leave your house. Even when The business is about to die. Your life's work to be destroyed. Your money's gone. Your wife and children are facing starvation. Should you resist then? You know, there are thousands of cases like this in our country right now being faced by our own countrymen. What should they do? What would you do? Is it right and just to defy and rebel in these cases to secure your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Well, let's take a look. What do you do in these cases? What should you do is let's apply the scriptures, the Bible, what we know from God, and the example of the saints, as well as even our own country's Constitution and Bill of Rights. Since, after all, those are the ultimate authority, civil authority, in our land. Let's bring them to bear on these situations. Let's try a couple. Ready? Number one, let's take a look at the terrible injustice that we all saw recently regarding George Floyd. After verifying the facts of the case and proved valid, would you have a right to be angry? Answer, I see a yes over there. Yes, I agree. Do you have a right to demand justice for that? Yes. Do you have a right to protest for that? Yes, you do. Do you have a right to pursue justice for that? Yes, you do. Do you have a right to burn, pillage, and loot the businesses of your neighbors, hit them with bricks, stab and shoot them? Obviously, no. That is evil civil disobedience. It is not justified or authorized by God, and it will incur God's wrath on those who do such things. So that was easy. Let's take a look at another one. What about the Dallas hairstylist? Remember her? She was in lockdown. She kept all the rules, obeyed her government. But after a time, her workers that were under her said, you know, we're running out of money. We're going to starve. And she also was basically out of money. Her business, her life's work was about to be destroyed. And her children were about to go without food unless she rebelled. Does she have a right to disobey at that point? Well, she decided, I must go to work even if the government says no. She did. She was arrested. She was sentenced to a week in jail and $7,000 fine. And the judge wanted her to say, you are selfish. But she said, I am not selfish, she said defiantly. I'm feeding my family. Was she right to do so? For her life, for her liberty, and for her pursuit of happiness, I'd agree with her. Now, each case has to be discerned on an individual basis, of course. And it's sometimes a little hard to decide exactly when, but I would agree with her on this one. It is a higher calling to feed your family and to save your life if the government is saying no. They've overstepped their bounds. How about churches? All right, lockdown for 2 weeks. Okay, because we're trying to help our neighbors. That was what we're told. 2 weeks turns into 4, into 8, into 11. Some are not open yet. 20 weeks, maybe, end of July. No clear end in sight. Certain governors have opened up their states, but other governors have deemed churches non-essential and forbade them to meet, even while calling abortion clinics and liquor stores essential. What a world. Are these churches then bound by duty and faith to defy the government and open up then? When the government has overstepped its bounds, transgressed its God-given purpose, and started to attack the church. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our brothers, sisters, and the Wisconsin Evangelical Church, Lutheran Church as well, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and the Roman Catholic Archdiocese up there in Minnesota all sent letters together to the governor saying, we know your orders, but we're opening up anyway. In defiance of your orders, have a nice day. In so many words. Again, the Declaration of Independence says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. There is a time, we must know, to stand with Daniel, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with Peter and John, to defy the civil authorities over us in the strength of faith. There's a time to say we must now obey God rather than men. And we see this even in Jesus, our good Savior and King. For the ultimate authority in the world, think of it, when he came, who was the ultimate authority? The devil was an authority over all the civil realms, if you will. From the Bible, he's called the ruler of this world, John 14, and the world ruler of this present darkness with his evil angels in Ephesians 6. But see Jesus defiant against them. The devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I'll give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours, Jesus. But Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Defiance against the governing authority of the world. He was defiant his whole world, his whole life against that authority. For the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, the works of his government, and to set up a new government, that is the government of God on earth. And I'll tell you, he did it. He brought us life and liberty and happiness through his cross. He died for our sins. He rose again from the dead on the third day to give us eternal life, victory and joy and freedom forever through faith in his name. Therefore, friends, there is a time to obey the civil authorities, and the that is most of the time. But when man's laws go against what is right and the laws of God, we must choose God, the truth, liberty, rather than obedience to men. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to yoke of slavery. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Does God Say About Civil Disobedience? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home, or you'd just like to stop by and visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.